Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
You know, it's always good to be with the boss. The boss is here today, Lynette Lewis. I just want to, Lynette Lewis is here today. So I got to, I'm teasing. You know, I just, it's so good to be a part of a church that's doing something. You know, I don't want to be a part of a church that just kind of sits on the corner and just kind of plays around and doesn't get involved. But we're involved in the game of life here in the city of New York. And so I'm thankful for Pastor Ron and this team that we're motivated to engage culture, not to sit around and play games, but to do something. And many of you are participating in that. But I'm going to give you a challenging word today. I'm going to challenge you a little bit. And so you're going to kind of buckle up. You know, I'm going to kind of abrasive type of guy, but in a loving way. You know, like Jesus, he was loving, but he's abrasive. So I'm the same way in a sense. But I just want you to understand that God wants to do something with you and through you, and that you can't think of yourself small. God wants to use you to do something great in this city. But the question is, will you take your gifts and talents and put them on the altar for God and say, use me. Do whatever you want to do. And so as we continue the book of Luke, the series here, we're starting to understand that Luke's thing is just to make sure that we understand that Jesus is who he says he is. He is the Christ. He is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. And so last week, Pastor Ron waxed eloquently about Zacchaeus. And when he preached about Zacchaeus, it opened my eyes to understand that Jesus, on his way to Jerusalem, this is his last stop. I'll be in Luke 19. This is his last stop before he gets to Jerusalem. And what I saw along the way is Jesus encountered people. Even if he was focused on a mission, he took time with the children. And one thing about Jesus cares about the next generation. That's what I love when Pastor Ron got up here and began to call out those college campuses. You know, if you change the campus, you'll change the world. And it's important to engage college campuses, not to despise the next generation, whether it's middle school, high school, elementary. God cares about the children. He took time with them. Don't permit them from coming to me. Then he had the rich young ruler. You think about a person that was running things, you know, a CEO, a CFO, somebody, a politician, somebody of that nature, but Jesus encountered him. And then you think about Zacchaeus, a man that nobody liked. People were despising. You know, Jesus cares about his creation. And he'll stop and he'll spend time with his creation. Doesn't matter what background, what ethnicity, or what they're about. It said that Jesus went into Zacchaeus' house, a sinner, and broke bread. And not only that, but the man's life was changed because of it. Jesus is not too busy to encounter his creation. He cares about you and I. Understand that he cares deeply. So always make yourself available to him. Today we're going to talk about the 10 minus. Before I do, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, these brief moments, God, I'm asking that, Lord, you meet us where we need to be met. God, I pray that we would slow down, understanding we have gifts and talents that you've deposited in us. But, Lord, you want something from us in a good way, in Jesus' name, amen. The 10 minus, we're going to talk this out. You know, I remember being born again and somebody coming to me and saying, you know what, that we see a gift in you. You have the gift of faith. You have the gift or the spirit of the evangelist. And God wants to use you to do great things coming into the ministry. And I remember being a small, snotty-nosed campus minister at Tennessee State University. And God gave me this small little campus, this little university, just a steward, about 60 college students. And I remember I'd show up and I'd minister, take them through the one-to-one or, you know, maybe bring them to church and they get radically transformed by God. And then I'd baptize some kids and students, excuse me, and things would begin to happen. But God began to stir me. He said, don't be content with just one campus. And I remember meeting Pastor Ron and Pastor Rice, Dr. Rice Brooks and Pastor Brett Fuller. And they had this vision of reaching 103 black colleges and universities here in the United States of America. And I remember just sitting under their teaching and listening to the vision. They said, you know, if we can reach these campuses, if we can reach the young African-American men and women, we can change this nation because a lot of great things transpire and come up off of the black colleges. You heard of a woman by the name of Oprah Winfrey. She came out of Tennessee State University. Maybe a man by the name of Michael Strahan, who's on your TV every morning. He came out of a small black college out of Houston, Texas Southern University. And so if you could reach the campus, man, you could change the world, because that's where the next leaders are coming. And I remember saying, okay, if I can take this one campus, maybe I can get the one across the street, which was Fisk. And I go over there and I birth the campus ministry there. And then there was a medical college across the street that was the HBCU. And I said, you know what, now we got two, maybe we can get three. So opened up the door and went and broke that open. And we started a Bible study there. And now we began to send college students on medical missions out of this HBCU. But God said, I'm not done yet, because God is a God of multiplication. God wants to take your gifts and talents and go to the next level. So he said, you know what? Why don't you try all of them? Why don't you go for it and see what I'll do? This gift of faith and miracles and signs and wonders, man, take that and go do something. So I remember getting on the phone and I said, you know, we had a church in Houston. And I said, hey, pastor, I hear you got a black college there. I want to come down and help get something started if you're willing to let me come. He said, bring yourself down. Come do your thing. I show up, nothing's on the campus, preach a message, people get born again, turn it over to the campus minister. That started in Texas. And you know what I said? You know, we began to network, and people began to call and say, I hear that you have this thing for these colleges. You know what? There's 103. Let's see what we can do. And so I went from Texas, from Louisiana, to Georgia, to Florida, all the way up to the East Coast and here in New York. And I remember coming to Mega Evers, and, you know, we had North Carolina on lockdown because we had, you know, NC State and or North Carolina A&T and North Carolina Central and all these colleges. Howard was taken care of. And I remember getting on this win streak, and I just remember thinking, man, this gift and this talent started with this small college. This gift and this talent started because God gave me something and I was willing to give it back to him and said, Lord, just use me and I'll go where you say go and do what you say do. I'm not going to stand before the Lord and him ask me, what did you do what I gave you? And here it is in Luke 19, verses 11 through 27. This is Jesus speaking a parable on his way to Jerusalem to die and rise again. But before I go, I have some instructions. He says, while they were listening to this, he went on to tell them parable because he was near Jerusalem and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. He said a man of a noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then return. Verse 13, so he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. Put this money to work, he said, until I come back. But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, we don't want this man to be our king. Verse 15, he was made king, however, and returned home. Then he sent for the servants to whom he had given the money to in order to find out what they had gained with it. The first one came and said, sir, your mina has earned 10 more. Well done, my servant, his master replied. Because you've been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities. Second came and said, sir, your mina has earned 5 more. His master said, you take charge of 5 cities. But the last one, another servant came and said, sir, here is your mina. I've kept it, laid it away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you because you are a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and you reap where you did not sow. Verse 22, his master replied, I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you? That I'm a hard man, taking out what I did not put in and reaping what I didn't sow. Why didn't you put my money on deposit so that when I came back, I could have collected with interest? Then he said to those standing by, take his mina from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. Sir, they said, he already has 10. He replied, and this is the money line. I'll tell you that everyone who has more, more will be given. More will be given. But as for one who has nothing, even that what he have will be taken away. Jesus on his way to Jerusalem. And he's getting ready to turn his ministry over to the disciples, the 12. But before he left, he had to give some instructions. He had to call a team meeting, a staff meeting. And he wanted to explain to them, you know, I've given you some things. I'm leaving some things behind. And I'm expecting you to do something with what I give you. And so this mina was 100 days worth of wages. It was about third of a yearly annual salary. And these people were given this and said, take it and do something with it. Use it. Take it and multiply it. And Jesus is saying the same thing to you and I today. I'm going to give you gifts and talents. I'm going to leave you with something. But I don't want you to be like this one guy and just sit on it and do nothing. So many times we make excuses about what we don't have. And my first point is this. Work with what you do have. Work with what you do have. See, you can't complain and say, well, you know, this happened when I was growing up and that happened when I was growing up. If you notice with all the people, they all were given the same. They all got one minor, but it was what they did with that minor that brought attention to God. It brought something out. See, God is about faith. He's about something. Man, do something. Don't just be still and complacent on what you have. The Bible says in Zechariah 4:10, don't despise the day of small beginnings. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. Jesus, always the leader of leaders, he took those 12 men and began to pour his life into those 12 men, and those 12 became 72. God is a God of multiplication. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. When I had those small college students, I never knew what was down the road. Man, I'm sitting there faithful with little 60 college students. Man, and they're driving me nuts. They're driving me crazy. But it's okay. I'm going to continue to pour everything I got inside of these men and women because I see something great inside of them. And I'm not going to make excuses about my past. No, I'm going to take care of business so I can go deep into my future. See, Moses, man, I'm stuttering. I got this. I got that. Don't you know who they are? Don't you know who? No, Jesus said, you know what this is? Or God said this. Use what's in your hand. Use what's in your hand. Stop worrying about what you don't have and focus on what you do have. Pastor Ron said it up here. He's in my notes. He's all in my notes today. But he talked about the fish and the loaves. You know, here it is. They got this little bitty basket, man. But you know what? This is all we got. We're going to give it to you, Jesus. I'm going to give it to you and see what you can do with it. But I'm going to give thanks first. And something happens when you give thanks. Are you thankful for the gifts and the talents that God has given you? And so let's don't get it twisted, because the Bible does say in Deuteronomy 8:18 that it is God that gives us the ability and the power to gain wealth. God, he gives it to you. Luke 16:10, it says this, whoever is faithful in the very little, also faithful with much. And whoever is unrighteous in very little is also unrighteous in much. See, God is about faithfulness. And even when we're faithless, he'll be faithful. He's always going to come through on his promise, but he's also asking us to partner with him. See, when you're faithful with your money, your tithing, offering, God can give you that thing that you really want. When you're faithful with people, God can give you what you really want. When you're faithful with your gifts and talents, God can give you what you really want. And faithfulness is that day-to-day thing. It's the thing that you and I don't like to do. Getting up early to read our Bible, getting up early to pray, getting up early to go to the prayer meeting, getting up early to go to the connect group. All those little things that we don't want to do develop something greater for us, something better down the road. But can you be faithful with it? Can you be trusted with it? Can you be trusted with it? I have a friend of mine here who lives in Connecticut, and he was telling me a story about how he inherited a McDonald's. Man from the Bronx, man, his testimony is amazing. We're believing God to bring him to speak to our men's group. Faithful with one McDonald's in the Bronx. Gets born again, he and his wife, and God begins to minister to him about the gift, a gift of giving, a gift of advancing God's kingdom through finances. And he says, Lord, if you do what I think you can do, I'm going to dedicate every McDonald's to you. This man started off with one McDonald's. He now has 33 McDonald's, 33. And his faith goal is to have 100 McDonald's. But you know what? It was like, God, I got this gift and I want to use this gift to advance your kingdom. I understand money. I get it. You know, the more I get, the more I want to give. I'm not ashamed to be blessed. Man, he's blessed. But you know what? He says, I'm about the kingdom. I'm about God's business. He was faithful in that one McDonald's, and God gave him three, and he's on his way to 100. My second point is this. You got to trust the process. See, these people wanted the kingdom to come right now. And see, when you have a short-term vision for a long-term destiny, it's hard for you to get where you want to go. See, they thought, man, he's getting ready to be king. It's on. The Romans are out. We're in. Man, there's no need for us to go out and do anything. But Jesus is like, no. See, the Bible says we don't know the time nor the hour. We don't know what's going to happen. Don't sit there and try to project things on God. Trust the process. God is saying, I want to do some stuff in you before I give you something. You know, God is about people. And he's about this process in us as people. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17:10, I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. Now, I want you to think about this. Before God's going to give you everything you want, he's going to see what's in your heart. He's going to make sure before I give you that power, that anointing, that authority, that business, that guy, that girl, I'm going to make sure what's in your heart. See, you can look back at all the people in the Bible and you can see there was a process. Joseph had a process. See, if God was to tell you and I what he really wanted to do with us, we wouldn't believe it. We wouldn't believe it. You'd be like, there is no way. Me? Oh, no, you got that's the person down the street. No, God is putting his finger on you just like he put his finger on Joseph. But Joseph had to go through a process. You know, he had to be tested, tried, and see, man, can I be trusted with being second in command? And see, it goes all the way back to being faithful in the little. See, when he was in Potiphar's house, he was faithful. He was in there, man, just taking care of business. He had all kind of distractions, things trying to pull him away. Some nice little girl trying to get to him. Hey, how you doing? She coming all on him. He's like, no, I got time. I want to be the man of God that I'm created to be. And I'm going to do what I need to do. Faithful. How can I sin in front of God? No, I'm not doing that, man. I'm staying right here. But you know what? Even when the bad stuff happened, it's okay because sometimes God will take the bad and turn it for good. And so he goes down into the pit. You remember the story. Now he's down there mad, probably some dream, all this stuff. And I'm here to tell you today, some of your dreams may have died. You think they've died, but God's getting ready to resurrect them. He's getting ready to resurrect them. But you got to trust the process. You got to trust the process. And see, he's in there faithfully. Man, you know what? Okay, it's bad down here, but I'm going to continue to shut this door, lock ourselves up every night as the prison warden, you know, the assistant to the prison warden. It's the process. It's the little things to see what's in the heart. And you know what's so amazing is that when it looks the darkest and it looks the worst in your life, and your heart is starting to get a little bit bitter and angry towards God, I thought it was going to be better. I thought good things were going to happen. Man, I joined the Connect group. I went to the growth track. I did all these things. Man, it seems like it's so bad, but I promise you this. If you stay the course and you continue to use your gifts and talents right where you are, you'll be standing right in front of your destiny when the time comes and God calls you to where you're supposed to be and what you're called to do, because it happened to Joseph. Man, he's down there being faithful, man. He's up there giving dreams and interpretation of dreams to the cupbearer and the baker. And he's sitting there ministering to these people. See, something about ministering in your dark moment. You think about Esther. Man, left aside, this woman. Man, nobody cares about me. I'm over here washing dishes on this side of the creek bank. Nobody cares about me. But in a split second, man, she's in the spa, getting spa treatments, getting a mani and pedi. In a split second, man, she's got the finest perfumes being put on her. In a split second, you know, she's probably, you know, sometimes we can get full of ourselves when good things start happening now. I'm just telling you, all of a sudden now she's got the, you know, she's getting the exfoliation, you know, it's all good. Man, she's got it going on now. But she doesn't understand what's coming. She's getting ready to have to stand in the gap for an entire nation for such a time as this. You got to trust the process. God's going to always examine the heart. My third point is, it's not about you. Is it about you or is it about him? Sometimes we can get these gifts and talents and we begin to start feeling ourselves. You know, that's a hood saying, feeling myself. It's all about me. It's all about me now. I got 30 people in my connect group. Man, I done baptized 25 people, Pastor Ron, Pastor Nathan. I'm the man. All of a sudden you got to the top and you start thinking it's about you. But is it really about you? Because, see, if it's really about God, God is a God of multiplication. When it's about us, it gets stale and it gets stagnant and we get it in one place. But if I begin to pray like Jabez prayed, he said this in 1 Chronicles 4:10. He cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Keep me from sin." See, when I pray a prayer, "Lord, bless me so that I can take over the next thing for you," I'm not content with just one connect group on Helmsley Ave or over here on Park Ave. No, when my man came to me the other day, Randy, and he said, "Man, I got something down at Water Street. I want you to come." You know what I said? I'm going. Let's do it. And then I'm now praying with our brother Lawrence there, Lawrence Cherry, this man that's an actor. And I said, "Lawrence, man, how about you and I from this connect group, let's go start another with actors and start something down in that territory down there for you and your people." He says, "Man, let's continue to pray and let's believe God for it." I want God to bless me that I can become a blessing. And I want to increase my territory for him. It's not about me. You know, God's PIN number, write this down. This is significant stuff. You want money, you want something from God. God's PIN number is this, P-I-N, people in need. See, when you meet people's needs, when you encounter people, when you go after people, when you help people and they're down and out, and it's not about you, I'll ride the subway, I'll take an Uber, I'll get on a Lyft, I'll do whatever I got to do just to reach somebody. Man, if I got to go all the way out to Long Island, if I got to go to the Bronx, if I got to go down into Brooklyn, I'll do it because there's a man or a woman in need. And I promise you this, if you do that, all your problems and stuff that you're dealing with begins to fade away because you're about God's business. And when you take care of God's business, God always gets in your business. People in need. People in need. 1 Peter 4:10, it says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms for others. Others. Jesus is leaving, and he's giving gifts out. But you know what, men and women? I'm going to come back one day. And my last point, honor him. Honor him, because that man that took that gift and kept it and hid it did not honor God. He did not honor God. He feared him. And yes, there's an element of fear, but I serve a God that loves faith. He said in Hebrews 11:6, "And without faith, it is impossible to please him." Faith pleases God. So if I take something from him, all of a sudden I can take what I have and go do something with it. Now he's drawn to that because he says, "I can get behind that because my eyes are roaming to and fro throughout the earth looking for a man or woman with faith." He's looking. He's looking for somebody to step out and do God's talk. Man, that's amazing because, you know, we're going to confront and encounter culture. We're not going to run from culture. We're going to go after culture because it belongs to God anyway. We serve a big God, and he's calling you and I to do big things. You know, Jesus ascended to heaven, and he released the Holy Spirit. He said, "The same way that I left is the way I'm coming back." Luke 18:8 says this, "I tell you, he will promptly carry out justice on their behalf. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Will he find faith? God is drawn to faith. And these men and women didn't understand that Jesus is going to the cross, not just so he can have Jerusalem. He's not content with just one little spot. Jesus is going to the cross so he can be Lord of the universe. He's after nations. He's after campuses. He's after cities. Nothing's off limits to our God. And I'm going to close with this right here. Jesus is after fruit. And he's after much fruit. And he's after fruit that remains. And so if you are not bearing fruit with the gifts and talents that you have, something's off. You might want to check yourself. You might want to take yourself and put it before the Lord and say, God, I repent for taking my gifts and talents and hiding it under this bushel. Don't be afraid. God cares about his creation, but he's chosen to reach it through you and I. And when he returns, because he's coming back, I don't know when. He said like a thief in the night. I know most thieves don't steal during the daytime, so I don't know when he's coming. But what I do know is I'm going to be about the Father's business, going to work. And so this morning, my prayer is this. As Easter is approaching, and we're going to have some take-home homework today, I'm asking you, saints, church, to take your gift and your talent and your treasure and put it before the Lord. And say, God, no more am I going to be afraid, because you're not a harsh, mean God. You're a loving, kind God that wants to use me. Will you let him use you this morning? Will you stop making excuses and saying what I don't have and what I could have? Would you say, Lord, you know what? I'm going to put the name of Jesus on the line. I'm going to lay hold to it and trust that the gifts and talents that are in me, I can make a difference in this city. I can make a difference. I can use my hurt, my pain, my shame, my guilt, my condemnation. It doesn't matter. I can make a difference. I can make a difference. It just takes one. One man, one woman that you reach that can change the world. But you got to get it right today. You and I have to get it right today. No more saying I can't and saying yes, I can through Christ. That's you, college student, high school, man or woman of God. You can do it. But man, today, take that gift and say, Lord, don't leave me out. Don't leave me out. I want to get in the game. So we're going to take communion here, understanding that the Jesus that I just preached about died for those men and women that I'm saying for you and I to go reach. He died. And so as the elements are being passed out this morning, I'm going to invite Pastor Ron up to lead us in this communion. But as we're doing this, be thinking, what can I give to God that he can go and do great things with?
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.